You know, a lot of us have been watching the news and have been seeing some of the images coming out of the valley and of different parts of our provinces as we've seen some of the flooding that has affected so many people here in BC. And when I think about what it would have been like and what it is like to be one of those families or one of those people who have gone through such tremendous flooding, I can't imagine having to live through that experience. I think about a family or an individual living in their home and all of a sudden thinking that it's just a typical rainy day in the Lower Mainland. When they start to see water maybe on the floor or seeping in through the carpets. And their first thought is, well, maybe I need to get some towels and a mop. I need to clean this up. But as the water continues to pour in and come into their home, their mind switches to thinking, I need to start moving things out of the way. I need to start making sure my couch and my chairs and my furniture don't get damaged by the water. And as the water continues to pour and pour in, and they start getting messages from neighbors and family and friends, they start realizing that this is a little bit more of an emergency situation than they had originally thought. And their mind switches again, not to try and clean up the mess, but to try and escape the situation. Their mind switches to try and grab things that are important to them, to begin packing their clothes, packing memories, packing things that are of deep significance and value to them. And as the water continues to pour in, there's that critical moment where their mind switches again to needing to make the decision to just leave. To make the hard decision of leaving behind valuables, memories, and a livelihood. A home that's been a lot of time, effort, and money has been invested into to make the hard decision to leave it all behind and to leave for survival. I can't imagine what that experience must have been like for so many people here in our province. And while I haven't experienced the chaos of living in a storm or experiencing flooding like that, I have experienced what it's like to experience chaos. And maybe you can relate with that feeling. With that feeling of having to make split-second decisions because you just don't have enough time to process and adequately weigh out all the options. We are constantly overwhelmed with one crisis after another, all the while trying to catch your breath as the water just rises and rises and rises. Not being able to think clearly because there's one thing affecting you, then another message, then another phone call, then one thing after another. And these things begin to pile up on each other as the waters begin to rise. Some of us may have not experienced that type of flooding, but all of us know what it's like to endure the storms of life. All of us know what it's like to endure the hard reality of the flooding of emotion that takes over us when we have hard things that we face in our everyday moments of our existence. And the question comes, when the water starts to rise, when things become really chaotic and hectic, when anxiety and hardship and darkness seems to crowd our world, where do we turn to for an anchor? What do we hold on to in those moments when the waters are rising? But this morning, we're going to be answering that question by saying, not what do we turn to, but who do we turn to? Today, we're going to be looking at a passage of scripture that we began looking at last week, and it's found in Isaiah chapter 9. And this passage is written was written thousands of years ago, and it was written to a people who were living in a really dark and uncertain time in their history. The people of God were in this kind of captive state where the superpowers of the day, like Assyria and other superpower nations, were dictating their livelihood and dictating their future. They weren't living as true free people, as the people of God that they intended to be. And in the darkness and in the uncertainty of their story, God sends a messenger in the prophet Isaiah to offer these words of hope. And Isaiah paints a picture of a different future for these people. And in this future, he speaks about a future hero, a rescuer, someone who will come and change the state of their world. And this rescuer, this grand hero, is given these nicknames. And these nicknames are characteristics of what he's like and what he will come to do. We read in Isaiah chapter 9, beginning in verse 2. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. And then down to verse 6, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of his peace, there will be no end. Would you pray with me? Lord, in your wisdom and in your insight, you have preserved these words from Isaiah for thousands of years so that we here in 2021 might look to them, might learn from them, and might grow from them. And so by your Spirit, we ask that you would speak to our hearts and shape us through your words, we pray. Amen. Well, as Audrey and Sarah mentioned earlier, today is the second week in a season in the church calendar called Advent. And Advent, that word means arrival. And Advent is a season where we look back on the first arrival of Christ, that very first Christmas, and where we look forward to the future when he will arrive again at his second coming. And we hold those two events together as a way to ground us and to give us hope for all that we endure in the here and the now. And Advent surrounds itself around the themes of hope, peace, joy, and love. These are some of the gifts that the Christmas story offers to each and every one of us. And last week, we explored the gift of hope and how Jesus, and recognizing his entry into the world, offers us a hope that we can hang on to. And today, we're going to be exploring the theme of peace and how Jesus is our peace. Now, if you go home later today and you watch the evening news, or you open up your news app on your phone, or you even scroll through your social feed, you'll likely hear a story or two of some sort of chaos that's happening in the world. You'll hear a story of probably some sort of political unrest happening somewhere. You'll hear an update on the recent COVID numbers and maybe what's happening with the latest variant. You might hear a story about someone who's tragically lost their life due to an unexpected accident. You might hear about the economic situation of our country and things that we should be worrying about, whether it's housing or the stock market. You'll hear a lot of things that show the state of our world. And I don't know about you, but when I watch the news or when I read headlines, I get this picture of just utter chaos that our world is in. I watch the news and there's a sense of feeling overwhelmed and burdened by the state of our world. The news is a good snapshot of the chaos that we live in. And the chaos of our world isn't something that's just out there happening to other people, but it's something that we know and we feel and we experience even within our own lives as well. We can look at our lives and we can look at the things that we're going through even now here today. We can think of the life that we want for ourselves, our dreams, our hope, the future that we envision for ourselves. And we can see where we are and we can see the gap and the discrepancy that lies between the people we want to be and the lives that we wish we had and the people that we are today. And that feeling of life not living up to our hopes, our expectations, can create an inner chaos. You add to that the brokenness of family relationships, the difficulty of working relationships with difficult people, struggling to pay the bills and just living from paycheck to paycheck. You add to that the real and very real worry and anxiety surrounding COVID and a million other things. And chaos is not something that's just out there, but it's something that we hold, that we carry, that we feel each and every day. Earlier this year, the Blue Cross conducted a survey where they found out that 2 out of 3 British Columbians are feeling more worried and more anxious compared to pre-pandemic times. Anxiety, stress, and fear is higher than it ever has been before. And especially as we enter into this Christmas season, you know, Christmas is this really warm, beautiful season. You hear lovely Christmas music. You might even get a beautiful Christmas card from someone you know. There's eggnog lattes, and it has this kind of image of being the perfect season. You start watching some of the Hallmark movies and you start seeing Christmas as being this reflection of perfection. And this season, as beautiful as it is, can be like a mirror. It can remind us even more of just how broken, how imperfect, and how far from ideal our lives actually are. This season can bring up a lot of the emotion, a lot of the pain of the brokenness that we live with. And it's that feeling of chaos, that feeling of anxiety, that feeling of not being where you want to be, that is very similar to the state that the people of God were in Isaiah's time. Although these words and the situation were written thousands of years ago and to a very different time in history, we can tap into the emotional state of these people, to these people who are longing for a different future, one filled with peace. And it's to these people and to us that Isaiah says, hope is coming. A savior, a rescuer is on his way. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Now, peace in the scriptures is the best English word that we have for the Hebrew word shalom. And shalom is this rich, deep, just beautiful word that you see all throughout the scriptures. And peace really doesn't do it justice. Because when we think of peace, we think of a sort of, a situation free from conflict. But the peace that the scriptures speak into, the shalom that the scriptures point to, is a sense of deep harmony. It's this picture of safety. It's rest. Shalom is a picture of what the world was intended to be in the Garden of Eden. When God creates this perfect home for him and his creation to live in unity and in perfection, that is what shalom is. That's what true peace is, living in perfect relationship with our Maker. And in the scriptures, we read that the entry point of chaos, of pain, and of fear into our world is when human beings break their relationship with their God. That the unraveling of peace begins with how we view ourselves in relation to how we view God. Romans 8, written by Paul many years later, says, "The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God." And in the creation narrative, you have Adam and Eve, these two creatures who exhibit this hostility, this desire to live apart from the one that made them. They end up turning their backs on the very one who gave them life and breath, choosing to live according to their own way. And as people who also have been created by God, we too, we break our relationship with our Maker through our sin. That peaceful relationship that holds all other relationships together begins to get unraveled. And we can see the ripple effect of that in our world. How all the chaos in our world comes from one broken relationship between us and God. As one pastor puts it, the reason we know and can feel disharmony in our world today is because it is directly tied to the disharmony that we have with God. The chaos of our world is a tangible expression of our spiritual state with God, that something is not right. And it's to that spiritual chaos that Jesus, the Prince of Peace, comes in to try and address. The Christmas story is of peace being offered to us and two grand pictures of peace that are on offer for us. The first is that we're offered peace with God. Peace with God. Romans 5 is another passage that Paul later penned, and he writes, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." The Christmas story is about people breaking their relationship with God, turning their back on God, leaving the place of peace, being Eden, and trying to figure out life on their own. And God not being satisfied with that being the end of the narrative, wanting to change the outcome, wanting to do something about it, leaving heaven and entering into earth. Christmas is a story of us turning our back on peace, but peace coming down and pursuing us. The Christmas story is about Christ entering our world, living the perfect life that we couldn't, and then going to the cross on our behalf to deal with all of the sin, all of the brokenness, all of the things that we do each and every moment of each and every day to push away God and to push away other people. And he takes that onto himself so that we don't have to. And part of the reason we have the cross front and center here is that it's a visual reminder for us that each and every week when we gather in this place, we come as people who have very busy lives, a lot of chaos in our world, a lot of different things that we hold. But we come to look straight and center each and every week at this visual reminder of this is what we're putting our hope in. Our hope, our trust, and the peace that we find in our relationship with God is found in Christ. It's found in the work of the cross. The Christmas story offers us peace with God. But it doesn't just stop there. Christmas isn't just about God coming into our world and dying for our sins so that we might have peace with God. But the second gift of peace that we're offered this season is to not only have peace with God, but to have the peace of God. Christ enters into our world, taking on our skin to be with us, so that the Prince of Peace might be known and felt in each and every moment of each and every day. The peace that we have with God changes how we live in some of the everyday moments of life. Now, that may sound like a pretty grand idea to have the peace of God be in your life. What does it actually look like? What does that actually mean? You know, so much of the stress and anxiety that we face in our world is because for a lot of us, living in a state of unknown, or not knowing how the future is going to turn out, or not understanding how a particular situation will resolve itself, is really concerning. When you think back to when the pandemic started in March 2020, a lot of the fear and anxiety that a lot of us had was because a lot of people didn't really know what COVID was. And there's still a lot of unknown. And it's that not understanding, that not knowing what you're dealing with, that creates that tension, that level of fear, that anxiety, that feeling of being completely overwhelmed. It's not knowing how the future will play out that can create this level of uncertainty and stress. And it's that same level of not knowing, the same way that we don't understand certain things in our lives. The scriptures point to a peace that we too, in some ways, can't comprehend. A peace that goes far deeper than anything our hearts and minds can fathom. In Philippians, Paul again, you can tell I love Paul. He writes this, he says, "The Lord is near." That's the good news of Christmas right there. The Lord is near. "And do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." In every situation, you make your prayer, you make your request, you make your needs known to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds. There's this peace that the scriptures offer us, that Christ offers us, that's deeper than anything we can ever imagine. You know, for some of us, peace might look like, you know, resting on a tropical beach somewhere, sipping on a nice cold beverage. And that's peace for sure. But the peace that the scriptures offer us, that the story of Christmas offers us, is far deeper. It's a peace that holds us and keeps us when life is at its worst. You know, we often think that peace will come when the chaos of our lives stops. At least that's what I often think. That if just the violence of our world, if COVID or if certain stressors or certain people in my life, certain relationships could just be figured out and just be fixed, then I could experience peace. But if the Christmas story tells us anything, it's that peace is found from within chaos. Jesus was born in a manger to impoverished parents in the darkness of night when the political world around him was completely uncertain and hectic. This is how the God that we worship enters into the world, in a state of utter chaos. And it's a sign of how he longs to work in our lives, to work from within the chaos to give us a deep sense of peace. You know, there's someone in our community who over the last number of years, has had a really difficult number of years, plain and simple. A number of situations in their family story, a number of personal health things that they've walked through, and it just has felt like the last couple of years has just been incredibly hard for them. And as we were chatting recently, they shared with me a story that's become, for them, a marker in their mind of the peace that God offers to them. They were sharing this experience of being in their home at a really low point over the last couple of years and having this really strange sensation come over their body and have a feeling that having this feeling that Jesus himself was not only near and present in the room, but that Jesus himself was holding them. That Jesus was in some ways enveloping his arms and his very being around all that they were. It was this type of supernatural experience of experiencing the presence of God in this very real and tangible way. And she described that it's something that never could put into words, an experience that is far bigger than anything else than they could imagine. But for them, it became a grounding point that reminded them that God not only cares, but he's near. That God is close, and the peace of Christmas is something that can be felt in the here and in the now. If you've ever been on a boat in the middle of the ocean when a storm is happening, when maybe you're traveling on the ferry over to the island, when there's a wild storm taking over the ocean, it can be a scary thing. Storms are violent, they're unpredictable, and it's hard to know which way the waves are going to take you. But one writer has pointed out that below the aggressive surface of a storm, there's this place in the ocean, if you get down far enough, called the cushion of the sea. And when researchers bring up remains of animal and vegetable life from the cushion of the sea, they have evidence to suggest that things haven't been disturbed for years. And the writer goes on to say that even while the most chaotic storm rages in our life, receiving the gift of Christ provides an eternal calm which lies far too deep down to be reached by any external disturbance. The peace of Christmas isn't just this lofty idea and this idea of living in a world where chaos, anxiety, and pain don't exist. But it's saying that within those places of everyday life, peace is possible. And peace can hold us when life is at its worst. Jim Cohen is a leading scholar in the field of social neuroscience at the University of Virginia. And he did this experiment where he put people in a fMRI machine to try and track their brain waves as they received these electric shocks. They received these shocks on their ankles and were asked to rate their pain level. Now, when people were alone and they received the electric shock, their brains lit up like a Christmas tree, and they rated the shock as being extremely painful. When a stranger grasped their hand and held onto it, their brain rated it as somewhat with less of an alarm, and they found it as painful, but not as extremely painful as it was before. But when their hand was gripped by someone they trusted and knew, someone who loved and cared for them, their brain barely responded to shock, and they simply said it was an unpleasant experience. And that's a picture of the story of Christmas and the peace that Christ offers to us. It's this picture of God enveloping us, of holding us, and keeping us when we feel like we can't hold ourselves. You know, if you've ever gone through a period of loss, if you ever have endured a really difficult situation in your life, the last thing that you need in those situations is advice. The last thing you need is someone to tell you what to do, to tell you how to find a way forward. But what you really need is someone who is just going to sit there, someone who's going to be with you, someone who will just love and be present to you. And the story of Christmas of God, Emmanuel, God with us, coming into our world and taking on this skin is this picture of God saying, I not only care about you, I not only love you, but I'm with you. I'm for you. I am close. Psalm 23 is a very familiar passage in the scripture. It talks about this picture of God himself being the good shepherd. And what I love about that psalm is it says, even though I walk in the valley of the shadow of death, And it doesn't say, you know, one day, you know, if I walk through the valley of shadow of death, or, you know, if things don't go as planned, but it says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. The scriptures remind, Psalm 23 reminds us of the certainty that chaos of stress, anxiety, darkness will come our way eventually. But in the midst of darkness, in the middle of those valleys, God, the good shepherd, is with us. Right in the middle of Psalm 23, it says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. The comfort is not found in the absence of darkness or the absence of pain, but in the gift of having a loving shepherd who is there and who is close. Before Jesus went to the cross for humanity, he offers these words to his disciples whom he was gathered with. He says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Before going to the cross, Jesus offers these words of peace to his friends as a reminder of where they should turn to, of what they should cling to in the future. And after Jesus is arrested, beaten, crucified, and killed, the disciples scatter. There's so much fear, so much anxiety, so much worry, so much darkness in their lives as they think that Jesus' story will be theirs as well. And in hiding in the upper room behind locked doors, the resurrected Jesus appears to his friends, and he once again offers the very same words that he left them with in John 20, where he starts off with the greeting, peace be with you. Jesus is the Prince of Peace that Isaiah foretold about many, many years ago. He's the same one who brought peace that very first Christmas day. And he's the one who longs to bring peace into our hearts and into our lives here in 2021. I don't know the story and the situation that you find yourself in today. I don't know the depths of darkness. I don't know the world of hurt that you might be experiencing and holding right now. But the Christmas story reminds me, and hopefully reminds all of us, that we come to focus our attention on a God who cares, on a God who stops at nothing to enter into those places and to say, I'm with you. That in the middle of chaos, we point our attention and our hearts to a God who says, I am near, I am close, and I bring my very peace to you. And so may this Christmas season, our hearts welcome and openly receive the gift of peace in Christ himself. Would you pray with me? Jesus, in a world so absent of peace, of love, of hope, and of joy, we look to you and we look for the gift that you offer us in Christmas, a gift of peace that can hold us and can keep us, a peace that moves from our head and penetrates the depths of our hearts. We ask that by your Spirit, Jesus, you would come now to fill us with your Spirit, that your words of peace be with you might be words that we cling to and we hang on to this Christmas season. We pray in your name. Amen.